It is
November the 11th.
It's the night of Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And in Shmuel Beis, we are in Perek Chof Beis, chapter 22, which is Shiras David. We started it last week, and we're up to Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. As with most Shiros...
I'm sorry, I missed the... Where are we?
Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Gimel. As with most Shiros, the words are difficult, and they're poetic. So we will struggle through some of these psukim, try to get a little bit of a sense of what's going on, and then we'll discuss some of it. So David continues, Elokei Tzuri Echesebo, Hashem is my rock, and I will take shelter in him. Rashi tells us it's similar to a person who is traveling, and it starts to rain. And he takes shelter under an outcrop of stone, a rock that comes out of the over him. Magini v'keren yishi, he is my shield and the horn of my salvation. Miskabi umnusi, miskabi means that which I lean on. I think is what that means. How do they translate miskabi?
My high tower.
Okay. My support, right, that which I lean on. Umnusi, that which I run to, I escape to. Moshi'i, he who saves me. Mechamas toshi'eni, from chamas. Chamas means theft. He will save me. So all kinds of words to describe David's reliance on Hashem. Mehulal ekra Hashem, I call out to Hashem and I praise him. And he saves me from my enemies. As Rashi explains, when I call out to him in times of distress, I praise him at the same time because I know he's going to save me. So the calling out in times of distress also results in my praising him. Ki afafuni mishberei maves, because I have been surrounded by mishberei of death. Now, mishberei is a reference to the birthing stool. Until recent times, and it's only even more recently that finally the hospitals have wisened up and realized that it is not the best method for a woman to give birth lying on a bed, but the best way to give birth is by crouching on a stool, and they've now modified their way that they birth women. So, but that's the way it was always done. There was a stool, and it was a birthing stool. That's the mishbar. We have it in Parshas Shmos. We have a reference to it, and the Targum says over here that a woman who is on the birthing stool and the baby does not emerge, that woman is now in a very dangerous place. It's very dangerous for her life. Until very recent times, childbirth was much more dangerous than it today. It's still dangerous, but it's not as dangerous as it used to be. So a woman who's in that predicament, it can be very, very dangerous. So David is evoking that analogy, that I'm surrounded by the birthing stools of death, meaning to as if I were on a birthing stool and in a situation where my life were in danger. Nachalev liyal yiva asuni, rivers of those who have thrown off the yoke of heaven will frighten me. They surround me, those are the enemies. Chevle sha'ol sabuni, chevle can be a rope, it can also be like a group or a line of people of the grave will surround me. Kidmuni Moshe Maves, though the stumbling blocks of death will precede me. So you see what he's describing, that it's just a very dangerous situation. All kinds of all around. He's got death all around him and danger all around him. Batzar li ekra Hashem, when I'm in danger or in pain, I call out to Hashem. Ve'alokai ekra, and I call out to my God. Vayishma mehechalo koli, and he hears from his chamber my voice. Veshava siva aznav, and my cry in his ear. So Hashem saves me from all of these terrible things. Now, from Pasuk Ches, verse 8, David now segues into the Jewish people. I mentioned to you last week that as with most of the shiros that are sung by an individual, they or about an individual event, they segue into the thanking Hashem for all the good that he's done for all of the Jewish people for a very long period of time, all the way back. So David does that here as well. Vayiska'ash, vatir'ash, ha'aretz, and vayiska'ash, vatir'ash, ha'aretz means the land will shake, tremble, and the land will groan. It's describing like an earthquake. And the land will, vayiska'ash means it will tremble, and vatir'ash means from the word ra'ash, it'll make
quaked is what it says here. What maybe earthquake. Like
quaked. Yeah. Well, that's why he's ash. Okay. Most those hashamayim yirgazu, the supports of the heavens will tremble. Same idea that everything is shaking. Vayiska'ashu ki charalo. They will tremble because he Hashem is upset, which means that when Hashem intercedes, the natural order begins to tremble because Hashem is coming in order to save his people. And when that happens, everything begins to shake. Describing what the physical world looks like when Hashem, kiviyachol, so to speak, becomes upset over what's happening to the Jewish people. And we're going to describe Hashem in human terms over here. Allah ashan be'apo. The smoke rises in his nostrils. The esh mi piv tochel, and fire from his mouth will consume. Sounds like a dragon, right? Gechalim ba'arumi menu. Coals will burn from him, meaning that the Hashem is now ready to take retribution against those who have attacked his people. Vayet shamayim vayerad, and he tilted the heavens and he came down. Va'arafel tachas raglav, and darkness under his feet. Vayirkav al kruv vayaof, and he rode on a kruv. A kruv is a cherub, and he flew, which obviously, what does he have to ride or anything and fly for? But that means that his strength appeared like this flying creature that you can't stop. Vayera al kanfei ruach, and he appeared on the wings of the wind. Very poetic. And the darkness was put around them as a sukkah, as a hut, a chamber of darkness. That which grinds out water, the thickness of the cloud. So he's describing until now we're describing fire and smoke. Now he's describing darkness and thick clouds and torrential rain. Minoga negdo, from the light that is around him, baru gachale esh, the coals of fire will burn. Yareim min shamayim Hashem. Hashem
says thunder.
Thunder, right, thank you. That's the word. Thunder from the heavens. Hashem will thunder from the heavens. Ve'alyon yitain kolo. And from above, it will give his voice. I mean, the thunder that will also show Hashem's anger or displeasure in those who are attacking the Jewish people. Vayishlach chitzim vayifitzim. He will send arrows and he will scatter them. Barak vayahom. Lightning and confuse them. Vayera'u afike yam. And the channels of the ocean,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Afike, depths of the sea,
right?
But afike are streams,
right?
Like,
Yeah. They will be afraid. Yigalu mostos tevel. Oh, they'll be seen. Yigalu mostos tevel. The supports of the land will be revealed. Bigaras Hashem, with the shout of Hashem, minishmas ruach apo, from the breath of the wind of his nostrils. From yishlach mami. Okay, let's stop over there. Let's stop at that point. Okay, so David has segued into what happened with Hashem and the Egyptians and the Mitzrim with the Jewish people. That when Hashem decided to take retribution against the Jewish, against the Mitzrim, so all of the natural order was overturned. All of the makos, all the plagues, everything was turned upside down. The earth began to tremble, and everything began, just everything was turned upside down. And particularly, there's a reference here to the incident at the Red Sea. That's particularly what he's describing, that Hashem descended, so to speak, with darkness that he used to put around the Egyptians, and that it was pitch black for them at night. There was fire that lit up for the Jewish people, and Hashem then attacked the Mitzrim with all kinds of lightning and thunder and loud noise that would scare them. And then the streams of the ocean would become revealed. That's when the sea split. And the foundations of the world were revealed, because when the water split, you could see all the way down. So you could see into the depths with the shout of Hashem. As Rashi says over here, we know that when the Red Sea split, all the waters in the world split. The way they like to teach that is that a person who is drinking a cup of water, it would split. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe that's what it means, although perhaps that's also what it means. But the main thing that means is that all of the major waterways of the world split. So when the Red Sea split, it wasn't only the Red Sea that split. The Atlantic Ocean split, the Pacific Ocean split. All of the waters of the world split when the Red Sea split. It was not only the Red Sea, but all the waters of the world split. Now, where did it split? How did it split? What does it mean? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that means. But that's what it means in all the waters of the world. The depths, everything split, which means you could see down to the bottom. That became revealed. If you were looking in the right place at the right time, you could see down to the depths of the oceans, of all of the waters of the world.
Is this in a...
Yeah. I mean, Rashi already says in Chumash, it's not an obscure Medrash.
I know about all the water splitting. I didn't realize about the seeing to the foundations of the earth.
Yeah, well, that's what it means over here. But it says you could see in Pasuk Tezayin in 16. Yigalu most those tevel.
Also at the Red Sea, that happened also.
Yeah. You could see down to the bottom of the Red Sea. That's right. Not the same thing. I mean, seeing the bottom of the Pacific Ocean would be more significant. But yeah, they could see all the way down. So he segues, as I said, into the Jewish people. Rashi here also says that he doesn't only mean the Jewish people, but he means himself as well. He's psukim. He means both. He means that Hashem did all of this for the Jewish people in general, and in a very dramatic way, but also for him specifically, when needed, Hashem stepped in and saved him in dramatic ways as well.
Why did he have to bring in Yitzhak's rhyme? What happened?
Because when a person is praising Hashem, so then it is appropriate to go back and praise for everything, and not just praise for the one thing that happened. So if a person has a simcha that they're praising Hashem for, or something that they give thanks for what Hashem did for them, so it's appropriate to go back and thank for more things than that. We see this primarily with the bikurim. When we would bring bikurim, the first fruits, to the Beis HaMikdash, so we would say, Arami Oved Avi. It would go back to Lavan. That Lavan tried to kill my father, and he went down to Mitzrayim, and then Hashem, you know, they tried to hurt us there, and then Hashem saved us from Mitzrayim. You're bringing the first fruits. You want to thank Hashem for the first fruits that He gave you this year, but you go all the way back to what happened with Lavan and Mitzrayim, and Hashem saved us and took us out. That is the way that the Torah instructs us to thank Hashem, not to stay focused only on what the present reason for the hodah, for the thanks, but to go back and to acknowledge that we're only here because of all of the great things He's done for us in the past. So David is following that system. He didn't make it up. It's really in the Torah. You see it.
That's so interesting, because La Tehillah has a lot of the Hallel.
Well, the Hallel comes from Tehillah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? So is this passage... is this fact, you say it's referring both to the splitting of the sea and to his own personal salvation. So is it to be interpreted at one and the same time, literally, because it really happened at the Red Sea, and figuratively for him?
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
a dual
right.
layer there.
Right. Okay. Right. Which, since this is David, it's not hard to attribute to him multiple meanings.
Right.
After all, we know from Tehillim that he's able to do that. He's able to put multiple meanings into words.
Do we hear that at the splitting? A lot of this sounds like what happened at Sinai.
Also, yes.
Yeah. Thunder and lightning.
But at the splitting of the sea, you also had thunder and lightning. You had, because Hashem, it says Hashem attacked the Mitzrim with fire. The ground beneath the chariots turned into mud and then hardened.
Right.
And the wheels fell off. You know,
so it was burning.
There was all kinds of things happening like that. Besides, the water was the final straw. But there's all kinds of stuff happening before that.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Were there other times that he was given, like, physical attributes? Like, nostrils?
Hashem?
Yeah.
It's not uncommon to do this. I mean, the classic case we know also from Mitzrayim, which we say on Pesach, is B'yad Chazaka, the strong hand, or B'zron Netuyon, outstretched arm. He doesn't have a hand, he doesn't have an arm. Yeah. Right? But that's the way we always describe Hashem, because we have no other way of this. We can only relate to anything in physical terms, because that's all we know. Mm-hmm. So, even the angels, we refer to as having wings. They're not physical. Mm-hmm. So, what does it mean they have wings? Right? They have something spiritual which, in a physical sense, would be a wing, right? Hashem, it's even more abstract than that, because he's neither physical nor spiritual. He's not even spiritual. He's before both those things. You know, he created both those things. So whatever it is, we're describing the way we as human beings perceive what he's doing. Yirches 18, Yatzileni me'oivi oz, he saves me from my enemies with strength, mison I from those who hate me, ki amtsu mi many, for they are stronger than me. I couldn't defeat them. David, now remember, we're talking about David, who is by far the greatest warrior of his day, perhaps the greatest warrior of all time, but certainly of his day, the man who could single-handedly kill literally thousands of people. And David is admitting that they're stronger than I am. This is not natural. I'm not naturally able to do this. This is all coming from Hashem. Yikadmuni biyom edi. He precedes me on the day of my judgment, the day that I needed him. You know, he's there before. The cure is there before the problem. He's already there to help me. Vayi Hashem mishon li, and Hashem is there as a support for me. Vayotzei la merchav osi, and he takes me, trying with this word merchav, I'm struggling with.
It says a wide place.
Yeah, that's what it literally means. He takes me out to a wide place. I assume the analogy is, if I'm feeling trapped, he pulls me out to a wide place where I'm not trapped. Yechaltzeini, he frees me, ki chafetz bi, because he cares about me. Yigmeleni Hashem kitzit kasi, Hashem gives me according to my righteousness. Kevor yada yashivli, according to the cleanliness of my hand, the purity of my hand, he returns to me. The Rashi explains over here, this is a reference to the Jewish people, that we were rewarded for our righteousness in that we followed Hashem out to the wilderness. Lechtech acharai bamidbar, we went out to the wilderness without any means of support. We followed him, and he's responded by saving us from all of our problems, all of our enemies. Ki shamarti darchei Hashem, because I kept the ways of Hashem, v'lo rashati me'elokai, and I was not evil from my God. Ki chol mishpatav l'negdi, all of his laws are in front of me, which means I keep them. All of his judgments, I adhere to them. V'chukosav lo asur mimena, and his statutes I will not turn from them. So he's saying, why is it that Hashem is inclined to save me? Because I keep the Torah. V'eh yesamim lo, and I was pure to him. V'eshtamra me'avoni, and I was careful from my sins. One more pasuk, and we'll stop for a few minutes. V'yashav Hashem li kitzit kasi, Hashem gave back to me according to my righteousness. Kivori, according to my cleanliness, to my purity. Leneged einav, in front of his eyes. Now, as a general observation about this song. David here is really addressing the something which I think is a question which plagues everybody at some point or other. And David is making it very clear about the answer to the question, or at least the response of how one should behave. A person finds themselves in dire straits, whatever those dire straits are. It could be enemies attacking the person, and it could be financial straits, it could be health-related issues, it could be familial issues, it could be communal issues. A person can have all kinds of things that can go wrong in their lives. And then they call out to Hashem, and Hashem saves them. So now what's the response? So David's response is to praise Hashem and thank Him. One could easily say, Hashem, You put me in this predicament in the first place. So now You took me out of it. I'd rather have not gotten into it in the first place and not have to get out of it. So, thanks but no thanks. I'm glad You saved me, but why'd You put me here in the first place? Right? One could have that attitude about virtually any problem that they have, unless it's self-inflicted. But a person could have that attitude. Now, one could say in response to that, well, how do you know it's not self-inflicted? Meaning that are we able to say with confidence that we are so perfect that we don't deserve anything bad, and therefore when something bad happens, it's not self-inflicted? Hashem is just giving to us, then He's saving us. So don't give it to me, don't save me. So most of us are not going to have the guts to say that we don't deserve things that go wrong, because none of us are going to claim that we're perfect. However, it is a natural human thing that we look around and we say, I'm not worse than everybody else. I may not be perfect, but I'm not worse than anybody else. So why is this happening to me and not to anybody else? That is what we do. Even though we don't have the chutzpah to say, I'm perfect, and I don't deserve anything bad, but we do have the chutzpah to say, I'm at least as good as my neighbor, and my neighbor's doing fine. Why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this. Not I don't deserve it because I'm perfect, but I don't deserve it because I'm at least as perfect as my neighbor.
It's not fair.
Right, it's not fair. That we do. And we do that all the time. People do it all the time. And then even if Hashem then removes the tzara, He removes the problem, we'd rather not have had it in the first place. We're not happy about the whole thing. And David is saying very clearly to all of us, that's not the way to approach this. He's not answering the question, but he's saying, look, I'm David HaMelech. Right? So I'm David HaMelech. You all know that I'm one of the greatest people to ever live. I'm one of the people one of the greatest tzaddikim ever on the face of the earth. And my life was no bed of roses. My life was full of problems, trials, tribulations, difficulties, before the incident with Bathsheba. You could say after the incident with Bathsheba, there's more cause. But what about before? Before we're talking about an incredibly righteous person, a person who's got a good heart, who's trusts in Hashem fully, completely, all the time, with all of Shaul running, he never loses his faith in Hashem. He proclaims his faith in Hashem constantly. He's a man who gives chizuk. He strengthens all of the downtrodden people who naturally come to him. They're drawn to him. He's a person who leads the Jewish people. He's everything. He's mistreated by Shaul, and he only responds with kindness. He's unbelievable, and yet trouble and trouble and trouble and trouble and trouble and trouble and trouble. David's life is very, very difficult. He does not have an easy life. And every time he's in dire straits, he davens, he calls out to Hashem, he cries out, and Hashem helps him. And at the end of his life, David can only look back and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has no tainus. He doesn't have complaints. He's not saying, Hashem, why'd You put me through this? That's not his reaction. His reaction is, thank You for saving me. I call out to You and You save me. without fail, all of my troubles and tribulations, I'm still here. I'm still alive. After all these times I was on the brink of death, and look where I am today. And that's all he says. So there's no sense of, it's not fair, I didn't deserve it, why me? David doesn't go down that road. Never. It's always, thank you Hashem for taking me out of the problems. I call out to you and you take me out of the problems. That's David. And even when he's in the midst of the problems, as we found before, he doesn't question Hashem. He doesn't say Hashem is wrong or bad or I reject Hashem. It's always with, I cry out to Hashem. My reaction is, I cry out to Hashem. Why did he put me in the predicament? I don't know. That's not my business. I'm a human being. I'm not God. There has to be some humility. I'm not God. And therefore, if I'm in the problem, I have a problem. Okay, so whatever it is, that's not my job. My job is to accept that there is a problem, call out to Hashem, and hope that He will save me. And that's what this whole song is about. David is able to reach these lofty levels of closeness to Hashem to the point where he can sing a shira because he never lets the tzaras get to him. And that's something which is very hard for all of us. Mm-hmm. That's not easy to do at all. We all know that we don't like our tzaras, and it's very difficult to say, I accept it 100%. That's really a very, very lofty level. David is able to do it, and therefore David reaches this madriga. But he's our example. That's what we need to strive to be. To ignore that nagging voice of the Yetzirah that says, hey, you didn't do anything to deserve this. This is not fair. You're not worse than other people. Why did that? Right? That voice has to be pushed aside. And the voice that has to come forth is the voice that says, Hashem is with me. Hashem has saved me. Now, what is the answer to the question? So then why did he put me through this? Let's ask the question then. So David is not dealing, he's just saying, he's announcing to us, don't deal with that. That's not what you should be thinking. You should be thinking all about thanking you to Hashem. So what is the answer to the question? And that, I believe, David is also telling us at the same time. Even though he's not addressing it directly, but he's also answering that question. Because David is saying to us all, you want to know why I'm at a level where I can sing a shira to Hashem? And we talked about it last week. A shira is not something anybody can do. You got to be on a very, very lofty level to reach the point where you can sing a shira. We're talking about Chana, Devorah, Shlomo HaMelech. They were talking about big people. Moshe Rabbeinu. David HaMelech is able to sing a shira. You want to know what I did in my life that enabled me to get here? It's that Hashem put me through tzaras. And I didn't lose my faith. And I called out to Him and He saved me. Had He not put me through the tzaras, I would have been fine. But I would not have reached a level of closeness to Hashem that I could sing shira. It is through the tzaras that He was pushing me forward. They weren't necessarily punishments. Some of my tzaras were punishments. We know David was punished for the story with Bathsheba with some terrible punishments. But not all of his life was full of punishments. A lot of it was not directed as a punishment to David. So why did they happen? They happened because Hashem knew that David could be pushed to a higher level. And he could go through a difficult period of time and emerge from it better than before. And if he wouldn't be put through the difficult period of time, he would not have become greater. He would have remained where he was. And his growth would have been only in small incremental ways instead of in the leaps and bounds that he grew and became the great David HaMelech. When a person is put through a tzara, so again, I speak to myself as well with this, because this is lofty. It's not easy to do it. This is not a lecture. This is something which we should try to learn from this. When we are put through tzaras, could it be a punishment? Yes, it could be a punishment. It could be. Do we believe that every time we have a tzara, it's a punishment? No, we don't believe that. And probably most of the time, it's not a punishment. Maybe some of the time it is. And for sure, when a person has a tzara, the first thing a person should do, as the Gemara says, is yifashvesh b'maisav, which means look into one's actions and see if you can find something that you've done wrong that might correlate to this problem. That is the first thing one should do, is do teshuva. That is appropriate because we know we're not perfect. But does that mean that Hashem is necessarily punishing us, or that the entire reason for the tzara is a punishment? There could be many reasons for the tzara. It could be it's partially a punishment, but it could also be not a punishment at all. And if it's not a punishment, then why would it be happening? A very good answer to that question is, it's happening because Hashem knows that we can emerge from it better than before. And Hashem wants us to reap as much reward as possible. Hashem loves us so much that His interest is that He should be able to shower us with reward when we pass the tests. That's what He wants to do. And therefore, sometimes, and it may be most of the time, when we go through difficult periods of times in our lives, they're not a punishment, but rather they are Hashem saying, I know you can do this, I know you don't like it, but I also know that ultimately, no pain, no gain. The only way you're going to grow is through this, and this will make you a better person. And you as a better person is a person that I will be able to shower more bracha upon and give you more schar, more reward in the world to come. Ultimately, you will become closer to me, which is the goal of being alive, is to get close to Hashem. That's the only reason for existing. David is telling us that without saying those words. That's what he's doing. He's saying, look at my, you just learned all of Shmuel. You saw my life. And this is why I'm here. I'm here because I accepted the tzaras, and I grew from them. Rather than reject them, rather than complain about them, I said, this is what Hashem wants, then I accept it and I do it. We're not on his level. We cannot beat ourselves up because when we have tzaras, we don't embrace them. We can't. That's not where we are. But we can learn from him, at least to re-examine our tzaras and try to think a little bit in a broader sense, and a bigger look at the bigger picture, and think to ourselves, ultimately, as much as I don't like this, I can grow from this. And that is the ultimate message that David's whole life teaches us, and this Shira in particular is hitting home that message. Pasuk Chavav, verse 26. Im chasid tischasad. Now this is our advice. With someone who is kind, you should be kind. Im gibor tamim, with a strong person who is pure, titamam, you should be pure. Im navar, with someone who is, another word for pure, clean, titavar, you should act with cleanliness. Vimikesh, but with a crooked person, titapol, you should behave crookedly. Now, what does that mean?
That's really important. Yeah. That's like Yaakov and Lavan.
Right. Don't get walked on. That's what he's telling you over here. He's telling you as follows. Now, we know that Yaakov did behave. He did take the high ground with Lavan, but not to the point where he's just totally walked over.
Right.
Right. He did. He was faithful. He never stole from Lavan. But in the end, he knew that he was dealing with a trickster, and he knew he had to try to protect himself from that.
And to leave,
and also to try to make simanim, to make signs with Rachel, because he knew that he was going to switch the women, the girls. So a person should not allow themselves to get stepped on. That's not what Hashem wants from us. He does want us to maintain a higher level of behavior than those who are scoundrels. We're not supposed to be scoundrels, but at the same time, we don't let ourselves get trampled all over just because we need to be good and they're bad. We don't let them just walk all over us. The Medrash says over here, the Gemara says that this actually, these two psukim, in the broader sense, are a reference to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and then to the evil people. The chassid, the one who does kindness, refers to Avram Avinu. Then you should be kind. Gibor tamim, the gibor is always Yitzchak. He is the strong one. You should then be pure with him, I guess that's the right word. Navar, the clean one, is referring to Yaakov. Titavar, you should behave in a clean manner. But with
from
somebody,
the word barit?
What's that?
From the word
yes,
barit?
Yeah, that's right. Bar means
soap.
Yeah, in Hebrew, modern Hebrew means soap. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And with a crooked person, that would be like Paro with Lavan, then we are not expected to get walked all over. We can respond in kind. Again, not to act as a scoundrel, but we don't need to sit there. We can run away if we have to. We can protect ourselves from their underhanded behavior. Ves am ani toshia. But I'm sorry, just to tell you just one thing. This pasuk is where the Gemara quotes that Yaakov said to Rachel, that Rachel said, obviously the pasuk wasn't written yet, but it means Yaakov said to Rachel something along these lines. When Rachel said to Yaakov that she's the daughter of Lavan, it says that Yaakov told Rachel, ki achi aviha hu, that he is the brother of her father. Now, he wasn't really the brother of her father. He was the cousin of her father. He wasn't really his brother. That's Rivka. He was the, excuse me, not the cousin, he was the nephew. He was the nephew, right? Lavan was his uncle. Right, I'm sorry. So, right, Lavan was his mother's brother. So it wasn't really his brother, it was his mother's brother. So the Gemara says what Yaakov was saying to Lavan, what Yaakov was saying to Rachel is, if your father wants to behave with me in an honest way, I'm his brother. I'll behave with him honestly. But if he wants to behave with me in a crooked manner, then I'll also behave with him in a crooked manner. I'll protect myself from his crookedness. And the Gemara quotes this pasuk. So again, this pasuk didn't exist yet. So Yaakov didn't actually say this pasuk, but it says this is the idea that he gave over to Rachel when she told him about her father. Ves amani toshia, and the impoverished nation you Hashem will save. Ve'einecha al ramim tashpil, and your eyes on the lofty ones you will bring them down. Those who are lauding themselves over the Jewish people, you'll bring them down. Ki ata neiri Hashem, for you are my light Hashem. VaHashem yagi achashki, and Hashem, you will light up my darkness. Ki v'cha arutz gedud, because in you I will run. Gedud usually means as a like an army, a battalion.
This is through a troop.
Through a troop. Okay, I'll be able to run through a troop. Be'lokai adalek shur, with my God, I'll be able to jump over a wall. As he's saying that Hashem can, I can do anything. I'm not limited at all. Hashem is not limited, therefore I'm not limited when I am with Hashem. Hakel tamim darko. Hashem's ways are tamim, are pure, are straight, are fair. Imras Hashem tzrufa, the word of Hashem is. Does that word mean clear? What does the word tzrufa mean?
Tried, it says here.
Who?
I don't know. It says tried as though tested, proof.
Okay, the Mitzvah Tzion says it was zakuku. It's clear. Magen hu l'chol achosim bo, he is a shield for all who rely on him. Ki mikel mi baladei Hashem, for who is God besides Hashem? Umitzur mi baladei Elokeinu, and who is the rock other than our God? I want you to hold this place. I want to compare this pasuk, Lamed Beis 32, with something we had all the way back in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph. And let's look at Tfilas Chana. Go back, please, to the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, Perek Beis, chapter 2. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Chana says, Beis, Beis, 2-2. Shmuel Aleph.
Okay,
it's only Shmuel Beis? Oh, okay, alright.
Starts here.
Yeah,
Bays. Bays, 2-2.
Oh, here she does.
Okay. So it says, in Kadosh Ka Hashem, there's nothing that is holy like Hashem. Ki ain biltecha, for there's nothing like you. Vein sur kelokeno, there's no rock like our God. So Chana says, there's nothing like you, Hashem. There's no rock like our God. David says, ki mi kel, for who is strong, mi baladei Hashem, besides Hashem, umitzur, and who is a rock, mi baladei Elokeinu, besides Hashem. So the way David says it is, there is no other one. There can't be another one. There is no strength other than that which comes from Hashem. There is no rock, which also means strength, other than that which comes from Hashem. The way Chana says it is, there is nothing like Hashem. There is no rock like our God. See, the way Chana says it, it sounds like there's a comparison, right? That nothing else is like Hashem. Meaning they're not as great as Hashem. There is no rock like our Hashem.
But there are rocks.
Right. David is saying there are no rocks besides Hashem. Now, the Gemara tells us that what Chana was saying, and I told this to you back then, I'm sure you remember it like it was yesterday, but the Gemara says that Chana was saying, Ein Tsur Kelokeinu means there's no tsayer, there's no sculptor like Hashem. Because she was thanking Hashem for her pregnancy, after having a baby, after being barren for so many years. So what she was saying is, there's no sculptor like Hashem. As the Gemara says, a sculptor can only sculpt an image, but cannot make it alive. And Hashem can sculpt an image within an image, a body within a body, and also give it life. Give it a ruach and a neshama, and give it life. So what she is comparing, not because chas v'shalom, she's not saying that there's another power besides Hashem, just a weaker one. What she's saying is, she's coming from the human perspective. You want to compare the great deeds of Hashem to what human beings do? There's no comparison. Look at this. A human being can barely can chisel out some image, and that's it. That's as far as it goes. And Hashem can take an image and put it inside of an image, a human being inside of a human being, and give it life. So she is deliberately drawing our attention to a comparison because she wants to show that the deeds that a human being can do, which are somehow similar to what Hashem can do, but they're not in the same ballpark, they're not in the same league. David is not talking about a sculptor. He's talking about actual power. Where's the power coming from? No one has any power except from Hashem. No one has any strength except from Hashem. It all comes from Hashem. So David is not dealing with a particular action that Hashem did. David is saying that anybody who can do anything, it's all coming from Hashem in the first place. Therefore, there is no power other than from Hashem. But it is striking that they're dealing with the same words in the two references of the two in the two songs that they sing. Lamed Gimel 33, Hakel Ma'uzi Chayol, the God or the strength, who is Ma'uzi is also my strength, and Chayol is also, those are three words for strength. Vayater Tamim Darki, and he Vayater means to untie my path. He makes it clear. In other words, a path can have a lot of different stones and stumbling blocks, and he clears it out. How does it say there?
It makes my way smooth.
Smooth. Okay, he makes my way smooth. Mishavera glai ka'ayalos. He makes my legs like those of deer or mountain goats. I've always thought about this. I always think about it. You picture. I'm not sure what those things are called. I don't know if they're mountain goats or whatever it is, but they're on these things that can jump. Yes. You know, right? And they're very sure-footed. Right? They don't fall. At least I assume they don't fall. Right? Right. So that's what he's saying. That's the analogy he's drawing over here. Hashem makes my feet sure, like those mountain goats, those gazelle, those deer, whatever it is. V'abamosaya midani, on my high places, he stands me up. He teaches my hands to fight. Again, David is attributing his own incredible strength to Hashem. David never lost sight of the fact that all of his natural talent in war was not his own. It came from Hashem. And I told you about this pasuk, the bows of copper he had my arms be able to bend them. I was able to bend the bows of copper. I told you in the Medrash that David would have these bows hanging on the wall, and when other kings would come to visit, they would see those bows, and they would say, no one is able to bend those bows. It's not possible. And then David would walk in and casually take one off the wall and bend it. And he was able to do what no one else could do. Nobody had the strength of his arms to bend those bows. And as I mentioned to you, an archer, the real power in archery was not so much the aim, although of course that's important, but it was the ability to bend the bow, because the stronger the bow, the further the arrow will fly. So the stronger archers were able to shoot further, and that made you a better archer. And David was the best archer, because he was able to bend the bows that were impossible for anybody else to bend, which means he could shoot an arrow the furthest. No one could shoot an arrow as far as David could, which made him very, very dangerous, because you couldn't hit him and he could hit you. He was much further away because he was able to bend these bows. Just one thing I want to tell you, when he says he teaches my arms through strength, he attributed it to Hashem, all his strength to Hashem. I was once talking to a chazan with a beautiful, beautiful voice. Not in Atlanta, but somebody I know, a beautiful, beautiful voice. And I once said something to him about it. I said, like, you know, your voice, you know, it's beautiful. So he said, that belongs to God. Is that right? He said, that's Hashem's. That's it. He recognizes that his voice is actually, you know, it's beyond, it's not normal. It's a super talent that most people don't have. But his immediate way of dealing with it is, that's Hashem's. It's not me. That's Hashem. And so anybody who has a talent like that, it's very easy to get lost. It's very easy to start thinking, oh, it's me. You know, but if a person has a talent like that, a person has to be able to say, it's not me, it's Hashem. And that's what David is saying here as well. Vatiten li magen nish'echa, you gave me the shield of your salvation. Va'anoscha tarbeini, and your... and you... What's that?
Affliction?
Yeah, and you
Condescension.
It means you raised me above your affliction. That is, you afflicted me, but then you raised me above it. You took me out of it. Tachiv tzadi tachteni, you spread my steps beneath me, as the Gemara says that this is obvious, but this is what David means to say, that if you stand with your feet together, a little push can knock you over.
That's right.
Right, and if you spread your steps a little bit, then if you're pushed, you don't fall over. It's a more secure way of standing. So that's what David is saying over here, that Hashem spreads my steps beneath me. In other words, not literally, but it means that Hashem makes me stand securely. V'lo mo'adu kar suloi, and my ankles did not buckle. Erdefa oivai v'ashmi deim, I chase after my enemies and I destroy them. V'lo ashuv ad kalosam, I don't return until they are destroyed, they're lost. Va'achaleim va'em chatzeim v'lo yikumun, I destroy them and I smash them, and they do not get up. Va'yiplu tachas v'aglai, they fall under my feet. Va'tazreini chayol amil chama, he girds me in strength for war. Tachria kamai tachteini, he bends my those who rise up against me beneath me. They get bent over beneath me. Va'oivai tatali oref, and my enemies, you place for me their necks, the backs of their necks. Means they're running away. They turn and run. Misanai, my those who hate me, ve'atzmi seim, and I destroy them. Yishu ve'en moshia, they call out, and no one answers them. No one saves them. El Hashem, they call out to Hashem, v'lo anam, he doesn't answer them. Now, which of his enemies would be calling out to Hashem?
Would be Shaul.
So have to mean those who were the Jewish enemies, Shaul, Doeg, Achitophel, and he was pursued by many, unfortunately, people within his own people, Avshalom. And Hashem did not answer them. Hashem answered David. Ve'eshchakem ka'afar aretz, I ground them up like the dirt of the land. Kitit chutzos adikem erka'im, like the mud of the streets, I grind them up.
Tread upon them.
Okay.
Tread them down. Stamp them down.
Right. Okay. The analogy is just like, Vatifalteni me rivei ami, and he saved me from those who fought with me from my own nation. Tishmereni l'rosh goyim, he protected me to the heads of nations. Remember, David was for a time a general for the Plishtim. Remember that at the end of Shmuel Aleph? Am lo yadati ya'avduni, a nation I didn't know served me. Even when I went to the Plishtim, you made me a general. You made me in charge. B'nei nechar yiskacha shuli, the children of the foreigners will lie to me because they're afraid of me. So all the foreign kings, etc., they lie because they're afraid of me. They're scared. So they'll tell me lies. Lishmoa ozen yishamuli, just for hearing about me, they'll listen to me. That is, they're so scared of me, even when I'm not there. They're scared. They're scared just about hearing me, hear my name, and they're afraid of me. They were very intimidated by David. But enechar yibolu, the children of the foreigners will be worn out. V'yachkeru mimiskirosam, and they'll be trembling from their, I think this means from their fears, from their troubles, I guess. Chai Hashem uvaruch tzuri, by the life of Hashem, which usually means an oath, but here I think it doesn't. Here it's by a praise, and baruch to my and as I bless my master, my rock, v'yarum elokei tzuri yishi, and the lifting up of my God, the rock of my salvation. Hakel anosei nekamos li, the strength of the God that gives revenge for me, takes revenge for me. Umarid amim tachteni, puts nations beneath me. Umotzi'i me oivai, takes me out of my enemies. Umikamai teromameni, and from those who rise against me, he lifts me up. Meish hamasim tatzileni, from people who are trying of theft or of try to take away my things, he saves me. Al kein odcha Hashem b'goyim, therefore I will thank Hashem amongst the nations, ulishimcha azamer, and I will sing to your name. Now here you have the famous Migdol Yeshuos Malko, the lifting up or the heights of the salvation of his kingdom, meaning that Hashem lifts up the salvation of his kingdom. His kingdom is David HaMelech. David is the kingdom of Hashem. Va'osa chesed limshicho, he does chesed for his anointed one, leDavid ulezaro ad olam, for David and for his children forever. David ends the song by saying the ultimate, really the ultimate thing. The ultimate in the whole song is that Hashem saves me all this time to the point where my kingdom is Hashem's kingdom, and Hashem's kingdom is my kingdom. The kingdom of the Jewish people is the kingdom of Hashem, and the kingdom of Hashem is the kingdom of the Jewish people. It all becomes one, and therefore Hashem lifts up his kingdom. His kingdom is what kingdom? Is David HaMelech's kingdom. And he does chesed for his anointed one, for David and his children forever. And so the really the final point over here to me is that David is in this song is really telling us what it really takes for the kingdom of Hashem, which is the kingdom of David HaMelech, to be reinstated for Mashiach to come. This is the song to become experts in. If we are able to draw anything out of David's song, to be able to look at our tzaros and say that Hashem just wants me to be better, and not to complain about them, and not to reject them, and not to say, why me? And on some level to say, I can accept this, or at least I can accept part of it, or I can complain about it less. That is the way to get closer to Hashem, and ultimately that is what leads to the coming of Mashiach. The song itself ends with this because that is where David's whole life goes. Right, the whole point of his life is to ultimately bring Mashiach. And you know, as I've told you many times, Adam is Rashi Tevis. It's an acronym, Aleph Dalet Mem, for Adam David Mashiach. And that's what David's life is all about. but we're not done with David. We still have a couple of stories left, which are going to need a lot of explanation.
Oh, God.